Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the One Goal U.S. Soccer Podcast. Now that finals are done, I'll start how we always start. George, how are we doing today?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Technically, for me, finals aren't done. I still have one to go, but feeling pretty confident about it. Don't think I'm too worried.
I am officially done. Submitted my final project today for its multimedia course, and I'm officially done with BU, so pretty cool to say that. But we got other stuff to talk about. We got U.S. soccer to talk about. I think the first thing we should do here is kind of maybe I'll ask you, what was your favorite match of the week to this point?
My favorite match of the week involving U.S. soccer.
Yes. Sorry. I know you're going to say the United-Sheffield United game.
Yeah. I mean, great, great win for Manchester United. You know, maybe I should start a Man U podcast. But, you know, besides the point, I would say I enjoyed the MLS final. 3-0 win for Columbus Crew. Pretty dominant performance from them. I love seeing Aiden Morris get the start in absence of Darlington Nagbe and perform. I thought he had a very good game. So I'd say that was my favorite match of the week, and it was great for Columbus Crew winning at home. You know, many people thought they were going to end up in Austin, and just how things come full circle is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I agree. That was a really great match to see. I enjoyed that one as well. I think, I don't know what my favorite match was per se. I think there was a lot of good matches this week. I enjoyed the midweek Borussia Dortmund game. I enjoyed a little bit of the Leipzig game. I enjoyed a lot of the U.S. soccer stuff. So in terms of, you know, other interesting things that happened this week, Tim Weah scored a goal. Yunus Musa scored a goal. Christian Pulisic. Is that right?
Pulisic.
All right, we're trying to get that one right this time. Christian Pulisic looked lively. Owen Otosau, we had a nice debut. And then today we heard that Tom Bogert reported that Roma has placed a $9.2 million bid for Brian Reynolds. And, you know, also this thing about Gianluca Busio to Barcelona. I'm going to dismiss that for the time being, but is there anything on top of your mind that I missed or any thoughts on those things?
Yeah, I think Brian Reynolds, $9.2 million, that is a lot of money. And a lot of money for a player who hasn't even started a full MLS season, who hasn't even played enough games to fill a full MLS season. So I think that number is crazy. But Brian Reynolds is somebody who I mentioned early on in our podcast days as someone who would break out. But, you know, I'm not that good. I didn't imagine a $9.2 million fee being thrown out for him.
I want to shout out Daniel Smith on Twitter. He posted this stat that it's like $600K per start is like the rough evaluation of how much that transfer they've gotten. That's a pretty good thing, I think, for FC Dallas. And to Europe transfers, we saw Dominic Szoboszlai. Is that correct?
Szoboszlai.
Yeah, so he's off to Leipzig, and that means a direct starting path for Brandon Aaronson. They'll be in the Europa League, so that's exciting. And, you know, last week we did Men's Player of the Year and Youth Player of the Year, but we put together kind of an award season special as we reached the halfway point in Europe. MLS Cup is over, and 2020 will finally be over in a couple weeks. So I think we should kind of start and do this little great award show. All right, so this is the breakout player of the year, a player with no caps for the senior team prior to this year. I think we should make that caveat because it was a big breakout year for everybody. So first on the list, I have Gio Reyna, Yunus Musa, Daryl DK, Nicholas Giochini, Brian Reynolds, and Ayo Akinola. I'll also add Chris Richards to that group, but who's the breakout performer for you this year?
I think Gio Reyna, obviously, is a big name. We had this discussion last week. I'm not going to go back into our, you know, young player of the year discussion. But I think when you think of a breakout player, you think of someone who 95% of U.S. soccer fans didn't even know before the year. And by the end of the year, he's their favorite player. And that is Yunus Musa. He is the definition of a breakout player, somebody who literally, you know, no one saw coming. Obviously, you know, Matt, you saw it. We always give you credit for that. You know,
you
put Yunus Musa in the dual national debate.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I will take credit for that a little bit. You get Brian Reynolds. I get Yunus Musa. We're doing all right at this, I think. But yeah, I think it's a really tough argument to have. We did touch on it last week. And I think, do we officially give Gio Reyna Young Player of the Year?
We're not going back over this, but yes, we did. But you can listen to our last podcast if you want to hear a 10-minute discussion of this subject.
Okay, so listen to our last podcast. But if we're going to give Gio Reyna Young Player of the Year, I think it's important that we give Yunus Musa Breakout Player of the Year. And I think on all of these players and all different levels, it was a breakout to some degree. But in terms of a player that no one literally knew of beforehand, besides me and like maybe Chuck on Twitter, so shout out Chuck. I think it's got to be Yunus Musa. Is there any more debate than that?
Yeah, I think, like I said, all the players on this list, I'm excited to see how they do in 2021. Daryl DK, big breakout year, rookie year at Orlando. Rumors of Club Bruges maybe going in for him, you know, going to Europe. You know, after 1 year in the league, being linked to Europe after 1 year in the league is absolutely incredible. Nicholas Giochini scoring 2 goals in his first start. Obviously, his team might be in Liga next year. So, you know, first division action for him, that'd be incredible. We talked about Brian Reynolds and then Ayo Akinola. He's been playing for the youth team since forever. It seems like people forgot about him a little bit. You know, he had some injuries here and there, outdoor in his way. And this year just absolutely kills it when he gets the chance.
Yeah, definitely. I think you summed it all right. But we're going with Jonas Musah for that one. We both can sign off on that. That's it for that debate for now. Let's go to comeback player of the year. So we have Tim Weah, Anthony Robinson, Paul Ariola, and Jalen Lindsay. Why don't you run through the nominees for me, then we'll say our vote.
Yeah, so Tim Weah, obviously, you know, had his injury problems, comes back, plays for the national team, and he scored 2 goals in 6 games for Lille after having trouble. So I think that's incredible for him. Anthony Robinson, more of a comeback player of the year in terms of the national team. You know, under Dave Sarakin, that's when he really was breaking out. But then we didn't see him under Berhalter for a long time. He comes back and starts the Wales game. So, you know, that's what you say. He's a comeback player of the year. Paul Ariola, obviously, you know, tearing his ACL right at the beginning of the season and comes back, plays the last game for DC United, plays for the U.S. national team, scores a goal. Incredible for him. And my personal pick, the one that I had to put in there, is Jalen Lindsay. Last year before the U-20 World Cup, he was probably going to be on that U-20 World Cup roster, you know, suffers a gruesome injury and comes back this year, plays a little bit of left back because Peter Vermes is very adamant on Graham Zusi being the right back. And then Graham Zusi is out for the season and he becomes a starter. So yeah, I think those four, you know, embody the spirit that it takes.
Yeah, I will add on Anthony Robinson's front, you know, he had that failed transfer to AC Milan with the heart irregularity. So there's just a lot of things going on with Anthony Robinson off the field. And the same thing can be said with Tim Weah, who had the first hamstring injury, and then the second, and then really struggled to get back. Had kind of not really a falling out with the manager per se, but, you know, he had his trouble getting back into the lineup. And we finally see now that he has his position. He's actually making inroads with the first team. And I think for me, all things considered, seeing where he was with such a catastrophic injury with that hamstring injury and then have a reoccurrence and to get all the way back to the national team and to even see him smiling just with the Lille first team, I think that's really exciting. So I think for me, my pick is either Tim Weah or Anthony Robinson. I'm going to lean Tim Weah just because all the things he went through. But I also shout out to Anthony Robinson. Way to come back, get the move to Fulham after Wigan and after a heart irregularity that could have been career ending. So I think shout out to him. But I think the pick for me is Tim Weah.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I love all four of these guys. And, you know, I'm going to go off the cuff. I'm going to say Jalen Lindsay for me. And the reason I say that is because it was so under the radar. And he even should have gotten an assist in that Minnesota game. I do think that header went over the line that they say Dane St. Clair saved. But, you know, that's besides the point. He would have gotten an assist for that. But I think just for him getting on the team, getting a consistent run of games after that injury in which he didn't get an opportunity to play on a world stage, you know, I'm very happy for him.
So is there going to go with Jalen's your official vote?
Jalen Lindsay is my official vote. Shout out Jalen.
All right. Shout out Jalen. We'll split on that one. But that's okay. Let's go to the don't you forget about me award. And this is important.
It's a song like the don't you forget about me. Don't. Like,
okay. All right. Sorry, I missed that right on that one. You know,
you've never seen the Breakfast Club.
No, I've seen the Breakfast Club. Don't try to put that on.
I actually have never seen the Breakfast Club, but I still.
All right, so you haven't seen the Breakfast Club. Don't come at me asking me that. I haven't seen the Breakfast Club. How do you even know the song, huh? We digress. Okay, so the don't you forget about me award. All right, there you go. Goes to Paxton Pomacall, James Sands, is that Matt Beisler and Andrew Collison?
Yes, sir.
I want to hear your Matt Beisler case first. Let's hear that one.
So the reason I have Matt Beisler here is my hot take is Matt Beisler is one of the most disrespected players in the national team pool in recent times. And in his prime, Matt Beisler was starting against Mexico away, playing well. He was starting World Cup qualifying games, playing well. And he started in the 2014 World Cup, where the USA had a good run. But yet, it was almost a kind of anticlimactic decline for him in a way. And we've seen Omar Gonzalez get caps more recently than Matt Beisler. So, you know, I think he was disrespected a little bit in U.S. soccer terms. We don't really hear Matt Beisler when you think about center backs in recent times. And then now for Kansas City, he kind of was abruptly dropped by Peter Vermes, then had some injury issues, and now he's looking for a new team. So, you know, we've seen in MLS, you know, center backs get second chances. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. Hopefully he doesn't retire. Hopefully he does end up somewhere. And who knows? You could let's just say he ends up at Cincinnati, helps shore up their back line or something like that. So that's why I'm saying Matt Beisler, because I still think he has a little gas left in his tank.
I like Matt Beisler. I really do. Shout out to the Mats. You know, I'm a Matt guy. I think people understand that at this point. But yeah, I really like Matt Beisler. I think he does get slept on in terms of the national team conversation from a historical perspective. And you're right, deserves a little bit of love. So shout out to Matt Beisler. I really hope you do find a nice home and can end your career on a good note because you deserve it. But the other guys I think we should talk about, Andrew Carlton, our boy, had a great season on loan from Atlanta United. Actually, they decided not to bring him back while he's at Indy 11. So I think he's free to be taken by any MLS team. I think he had a really good season, kind of showed his prospect status is still alive and well. Paxton Pomacall had injury troubles and is still recovering, but don't forget about him. James Sands, broken foot and was solid before that. Any of those guys stand out to you? Where are you leaning on the vote?
I think I love James Sands. I love Andrew Carlton. Obviously, Andrew Carlton came on here. We had a blast with him. James Sands played against him. You know, since I was 11 years old, we go way back. But my pick is Paxton Pomacall because he is one of the most unique attackers in the U.S. soccer pool. And if it wasn't for that injury, he would be the one being linked to moves to Europe. He might be the one getting a move to Salzburg. That was supposed to be Paxton Pomacall, but unfortunately, he's had these injuries. But we have to remember, U-20 World Cup, Paxton Pomacall was probably the U.S.'s most dangerous attacker besides Tim Moya. And that match against France, he went toe-to-toe with Mikel Cuisance, who played for Bayern Munich, is now at Marseille, a Champions League player, and he played him off the park. So I think in his prime, when he's fully healthy, Paxton Pomacall is one of the most unique players in the U.S. soccer pool. He can play left mid if he needs to. He can play as a 10. He can play as an 8. He has a little bit more of a defensive bite to him than Brendan Aaronson. So I really like Paxton Pomacall as a player. And it's probably going to come a year later than we would have expected. But I think he's going to have a year in 2021 that's going to plummet him rather up to Europe.
Yeah, no, definitely. The word is not plummeted up to Europe because you can't. It isn't plummet down.
Plummet down? Oh, propel. Propel. That's the word.
But I agree. I think Paxton Pomacall, compared to other players in the pool, like he's an incredibly unique player, works incredibly hard, is creative, can do a lot of things that a lot of players in this talent pool cannot. And not to say that we're not talented, but he's definitely someone you want to have on the team. He was linked to AC Milan at one point. I think he comes back, has a strong year, shows he can stay healthy, and we'll see that same player, and he'll be off to Europe in no time. So I think that's where my pick goes to, as the guy to not forget about going forward. I think, you know, Andrew Carlton as well. Don't forget about him. But I think he needs to land the right situation for things to really click for him. But he's hungry as well. But I think my pick goes to Paxton Pomacall. So let's move on to the next one here. Best social media personality. Now, this is a fun one because Julian Araujo, the I Like Your Cut G, which he stole from Weston McKennie, who's also on this list. You have Christian Pulisic, who had his TikToks, a little bit of dancing, some fun Instagram lives with Weston McKennie. He's a fun guy. He showed his personality. And I guess the wily veteran of this group, Jozy Altidore, who's been absolutely a beast on Twitter, responding to everyone saying, "You got it. Come on, boy. Very happy for you." Commenting, heart emojis and all of that stuff. I think I'll also add maybe the young guys as a squad in general, just commenting on everyone's photos. I think it's really fun and really cool to see that cohesive community. So is there anyone that stands out to you and you say, this is the social media personality of the year? It might be Weston McKennie just because of that Juventus video where he's like making like marzipan or something like that. So I think he's just a fun guy and he had the Heelys. Maybe it's him, but what do you think?
Yeah, I would say my honorable mention for this is Jozy Altidore. He's super supportive. He's trying to be the bridge between these young guys and the older generation. He's, you know, he knows all of them. He's following them. He's replying to them. He's letting them know that I'm Jozy Altidore. I'm a veteran on this team. I don't feel threatened by you. Instead, I'm watching you. I want you to be amazing. I want you to be the very best you can be. And I know what you're going to do for U.S. soccer. And I think that is very important for these players. And then, like you said, too, just the fact that they're always commenting on each other's posts, you're seeing heart eyes, you're seeing the fire emojis. It's absolutely incredible. But I think, you know, we can come to a consensus. It has to be Weston McKennie. As good as he is on the field, he is absolutely phenomenal off it. He is like the heart and soul of U.S. soccer right now. Everybody loves him. And like I said, he can go from scoring a scissor kick at the Camp Nou against Barcelona to riding in Heelys around Juventus's campus. So just like that duality of man is just incredible from Weston McKennie. You know, he's just the guy, I like your cut G, slapping people on the head, you know, always has his phone out. It's incredible from him.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the pick definitely goes to Weston McKennie. But let's see if Pulisic or maybe Julian Araujo can up their game next year and beat him out. But it is Weston McKennie for now. Let's go to another fun category here. We have bromance of the year. So like we saw during the first December camp, we saw Legette and Araujo. It was a nice little bromance. In November, we saw Ledesma and Soto. That goes back to the U20 World Cup and even to their days at Salt Lake Academy. We have Pulisic and McKennie. Of course, that's a big one. We also can even add Pulisic, McKennie, and Adams. Any variation of that, I think, is pretty good. Gio Reyna and Yunus Musa, been buddies. Musa saying happy birthday to him on his Instagram story. And of course, bromance of the year. I think it might go to us, George and Matt. You know, two great podcast hosts. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, George and Matt, these guys just came absolutely out of nowhere and changed the game. And so, you know, they're amazing, especially that George guy. I love him. But I think, for me, the bromance of the year goes to Richie Ledesma and Sebastian Soto. And the reason I say that is because they go back a long time to Real Salt Lake Academy, all the way back then, and they've progressed together from Salt Lake Academy to U20 national team. And then how it's almost kind of unfathomable. You've been playing with somebody since you were 14 years old, and on your national team debut, you score 2 goals. And both of them are assisted by him. It's literally what dreams are made of. It's just how it happened, the coincidence, how that happens. I think they have to take it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's going to be Ledesma. It's going to be Soto. I also want to say shout out to Rachel Ledesma. Hope you're feeling better. Tough ACL injury, but I know you're going to come back stronger. But I do agree. I think it's going to be, for me, I'm going to agree with you and say Sebastian Soto and Richie Ledesma. That's got to be the bromance of the year. They're part of that Fortnite crew with Alex Mendez and Uli Lainez. So I think that's what it's going to come down to. I think we're going to go on and say that they are the bromance of the year. Maybe George and Matt next year. But, man, it's a tough group for us to crack, I think, unfortunately.
If Greg wants to give me a national team call-up, I'll help my stock. But, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, if we get called up to the U.S. Soccer podcast, maybe we can include ourselves as like the bromance. It's a very competitive podcast bromance crew out here. So moving on to another fun category. Unfortunately, neither of us qualify for this one, but best drip. So that's between Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, an actual model in Owen Oktasawi, and Tim Weah. So I think Tyler Adams, I'm going to be a little critical here. His shoe game to me is a little bit hype beast. You know, he has the Air Maxes. He has a lot of the off-whites, the Jordan 1s, the 4s. A lot of typical stuff from him, but we see Weston McKennie, a little bit of that Italian drip now. You know, his hair has been cleaned up a little bit, nice little taper from him. So I think his drip is strong, nice suits to the games. You know, I think that's definitely like a nice fit. I also think Owen Oktasawi being a legit model has to count for something. So, I mean, that qualifies. And of course, Tim Weah, man, he's almost kind of like the swag daddy of the group, where he's always dripping out, always looking good. And it's hard to say that Tim Weah ever looks bad in anything. So he might be just the classic pick for drip. And I think kudos to Tyler Adams for picking up his drip, but his drip closet needs to grow a little bit before he gets in this full conversation, I think.
Yeah, I think I love Tim Weah. Tim Weah has been dripping out for a while, but I think my pick goes to Big O. You know, big week for him getting his debut versus Chelsea, getting an assist. And even if you look at his Instagram, like his soccer pictures are sporadic, and then he doesn't even use captions, and there's just like a simplicity about his feed. And then he has, you know, just these model pictures, and it just oozes class. There is something about his drip. He's a drippy guy. And I know he's a drippy guy too, because he doesn't want to play center back. He, you know, he sees himself as a center midfielder, box to box holding guy. You know, coaches have thought, oh, maybe he's a center back. But he knows the best drip players don't play center back. He wants to be in the midfield. He wants to be calling the shots. He wants to be dominating the game. That's what we call drip.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think the pick might just be, you know, young guy. He's catching on at the right time. I think we'll go with Owen Oktasawi as the drip daddy of the year. Maybe next year, Tyler Adams, see if he can pick it up. But let's go with Owen Oktasawi. All right, we'll move on to the next one here. We got best transfer. Again, we don't qualify for it, but we don't qualify for any of these anymore, so that's okay. Anyways, best transfer, Weston McKennie, Juventus, Serginho Dest to Barcelona, Reggie Cannon to Boa Vista, dual national, Kiek Pierre, loan move to FC 20. He's someone who's played for the Dutch youth national teams, born in Boston, but he's really found his form now with FC 20 while on loan for Ajax. So I think that's someone we should mention. Of course, we have Nico Carrera going to Holstein Kiel, and Haji Wright making the move to, how do you pronounce it?
There's an S, Sonder, Jysk. It's a Danish team. They're in Denmark.
Yeah, he's doing really well in Denmark. So I guess we'll just go with that. What's your pick for transfer of the year?
I think, obviously, shout out to Reggie Cannon. He's absolutely killing at Boa Vista. Played every minute of every game since he's been there. Hasn't missed a beat. Already getting looks from Benfica. And just the fact that he's put in that sort of performance and doesn't crack my top two just goes to show you what these other two guys are doing. And that is obviously Weston McKennie to Juventus and Sergiño Dest to Barcelona. And honestly, Matt, I can't pick. Before I let you pick for me, I'll tell you why. Weston McKennie, it's initially a loan move. We thought this guy was going to Southampton, maybe Everton. And even then, people were saying, I don't think he gets into the Southampton team. You know he doesn't get into the Everton team. Weston McKennie says, I bet I'm going to go to Juventus. People go, oh, Juventus, wow, you're never going to play there. Have fun riding the bench. A couple months later, he's scoring scissor kicks at the Camp Nou. Just incredible. He's been in his best run of form this past week, starting their past three games. If it wasn't for Morata, he'd have added another assist to his name. He's just absolutely killing it. And then Sergiño Dest, Barcelona is not killing it at all. They're not a good team, simple as that. But he is a good player on a bad team, and Barcelona will be good at some point, and Sergiño Dest should still be there. So anytime we can say an American is a top three player probably this season on Barcelona, like, we'll take that. So I guess, you know, based on that, what I just said, I guess I have to give it to Weston. Maybe I'm giving it to Weston.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say for both of us, we're going to give it to Weston. Because I think when it comes to Serge, like, he was linked to Bayern. Like, we knew the player. We knew how special Serge was. And he's still a very special player. But I hate to say it, but it's kind of expected that he would do well. Not this well per se, but he was going to do well and he was going to perform. We knew that. But like you said, with Weston McKennie, we didn't know if he was even going to play for Southampton. I mean, we thought he would definitely, but that was a big discussion point. And I think to say, not only am I going to come from Schalke, where I'm literally the entire team, to, okay, I'm going to be part of this Juventus squad. He looked a little bit rough at sometimes in possession. To now he's saying, I'm one of the boys. I'm in every picture with Ronaldo, and I'm having a great time. And I think it's not just about, did this transfer work? It's about, was it expected to work? One, the answer is maybe. And two, has he exceeded expectations? Yes. So I think that's what it comes down to for me. And I think, unfortunately for Reggie Cannon, you're right. Like, he did everything right. He spent every single minute for Boa Vista so far. Linked to Benfica, linked to Porto. But I think when you say someone who was looked at as not good enough for Juventus, to say I am good enough now for Juventus, like, bro, that's my best transfer for me. I think that's pretty easy. Also, shout out to Haji Wright. Shout out Nico. Shout out Keek. All of you guys, great moves. I'm glad you guys are playing well. But it's hard to argue with a guy who came in and just said, I'm going to boss it at Juventus. We got a youth player of the year. And this is kind of an award that this is one of those where it's the guys who haven't quite broken in yet. We have Matthew Hopp on this list, who just recently broke in with Schalke. We talked to him. He's a great kid. We got Brian Keo, started with Wolfsburg's U19, moved to the second team, and now is also on the verge of the first team. So maybe we see a debut for him in 2021. Malik Sonego, doing well for Union Berlin, tearing up for them in their reserves. And they don't have a second team, so he actually did very well for the U19s. And hopefully he's going to move up to the first team in December. So we'll see if he kind of fully explodes and breaks out. And then we have Johan Gomez, FC Porto, striker for the second team there in Porto, doing very well in his own right. Also a dual nat for Mexico. So I think that's a pretty good list. And nice, you know, there are more guys in the pipeline coming. So who stands out to you as the guy, youth player of the year?
I think, you know, obviously Brian Keo, training with the national in the past, training with them this past January, didn't make his debut though. But I guess I have to give it to the guy who's actually played for the first team, Matthew Hoppe. He's benefited from Schalke just being in absolute disarray. He's gotten one start. I think he's coming on as a sub in their past two games. And the thing is, Schalke is not good. They are not a good team. They are most likely going to get relegated. They haven't won a game. But he's out here trying to make the best of his opportunity. And if they go down to the two Bundesliga, maybe he gets even more time and, you know, can establish himself. So I'll give it to Matthew Hoppe. We talked to him. He's a very motivated guy. Has big plans for club and country. So he's our youth player of the year for me.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to give it to Matthew Hoppe as well. I think definitely you hit all the right points there. And for the back of the matter that he's actually playing with the first team, and he's also a Matthew. So, dude, a lot of love for the Matthews. Shout out to Matthews. And this might be the one that I really enjoy as my favorite category, uncapped dual nat of the year. So I think we have Keek Pierre, who I mentioned before, Boston-born, Dutch youth teams, Fuller and Balogun, Arsenal, England, Nigeria eligible. And then Alex Mighton, another guy who's born in Connecticut, eligible for the U.S., also plays for the English youth teams. In theory, assuming we got Musa, we could have a front three of Mighton, Balogun, and Musa. And that would be three former English youth nationals. playing for the United States. But I digress. Are there any of those guys that stick out to you and say this was the dual nat of the year?
Well, first off, shout out Alex Myton, you know, fellow Connecticut boy. You know, us nutmeggers have to stick together. But I'm going for Lauren Balogun. And the reason for that is he's scoring goals for Arsenal. He's only scored two in Europa League game, but he's scoring for Arsenal. And even though Arsenal is 15th place right now, they are still historically a great team. And I really hope he follows a Yunus Musa pass where he sees, hey, yes, I'm playing for the England youth teams, but if I go to the U.S., they are going to love me like I'm the best player in the world. And I hope he can realize that one day. As opposed to Yunus Musa, he's actually played for the U.S. youth teams before. He's won a trophy for U.S. youth teams. So the guys who we play with really need to step up. We need people in his DMs. We need him. Like, why not? Like, come to the brotherhood.
I guess he doesn't really qualify for the uncapped on that because of that. But I'll give it to him as well. Good year for Fuller, and he's finally breaking in with Arsenal. So best MLS player. This is, I think, a pretty juicy one as well. Jossy Zardes, Mark McKenzie. You want to go with Aiden Morris or Jordan Morris? Let's go with Jordan Morris, Brandon Aaronson, and then Matt Turner.
Yeah, this is a tight one. We have our two U.S. Soccer Player of the Year nominees in Zardes and Morris, our two Philadelphia homegrowns in McKenzie and Aaronson, and then we have the best American MLS goalie right now, Matt Turner. I think this is a very tight one. I honestly would say if I had to pick, it would be between Morris and McKenzie. I think between the two Philadelphia Union boys, Brendan Aaronson gets a lot of the hype, but I think McKenzie can go into a lot of European teams right now, you know, and immediately stake his claim. So, you know, I love Jordan Morris, but I have to go with Mark McKenzie too. Just the way he stepped up, he had a rough 2019. He had injuries, wasn't able to be at full health for the U20 World Cup, even though he was a captain. And I'm sure he was disappointed at that. But then he comes to Philadelphia Union and just absolutely kills it, makes two national team appearances. So I have to go Mark McKenzie.
I agree. I think it's actually Mark McKenzie. I think Zardes, great season. Jordan Morris, another great season. Brandon Aaronson, a great full breakout. I think, you know, maybe he has an argument as well. And I think Matt Turner, he's really in that conversation now for, is he the number one for the USMNT? So I think it's hard to knock him and say he wasn't good enough for this award. But I think another guy to come from the U20 World Cup, where he only played a couple games, and to say, you know what, I'm MLS best 11, and I'm ready to go to Europe. So he has the rumors to Celtic, UK clubs interested, Bundesliga interested. We'll see what the future holds for Mark McKenzie. But I think in terms of who had a great year in the MLS and that we didn't see much of the year before, I think I'll go with Mark McKenzie. But I think every guy can make a claim to saying that they had the best MLS season. I think we can look to the future now. You know, the best talent factor of the year, for sure, Philadelphia Union. Sorry, FC Dallas, maybe next year. But what about a guy you think next year can break through from the MLS? So who's going to be the next guy we talk about?
There's a lot of options, and there's some options that are completely under the radar. And then there's some that are like more towards the surface. So if we're talking completely under the radar, I think Ian Hoffman, you know, played a lot of time in Germany and then now is going to Houston Dynamo with Tab Ramos. Obviously knows him from the time of the U20 national team. So you don't bring a player like that unless you see him fitting to your team. He can play as a center midfielder. He can play as a right back. So I do see him getting minutes. Ben Mines, a former teammate of mine, shout out Oakwood Soccer Club. He's now at FC Cincinnati after not being retained by New York Red Bulls. He's a very direct, pacey player, same now as he was when he was 13 years old. So, you know, I think if he gets his chance at Cincinnati, they're a club that can really use anyone. And, you know, I think they can hopefully use his talents. Brady Scott is another one now at Austin FC who've been doing some absolutely great things in acquiring players. Just got Alex Ring today. So I don't envision him being the starter, but as we saw with Dane Sinclair in Minnesota, with one injury, somebody can be thrust into the limelight. So, you know, I see a pathway for him. But for me, the top two, I would say, players who kind of were at the bubble this year. One for me is Justin Renick at New England Revolution. He spent a lot of time at Revolution 2 this year just to get minutes in the playoffs, played a little bit. He's a player who I think, you know, Bruce Arena gives him some confidence. He works in the offseason. He can become a part of the rotation. And then my number one, the guy who I really do think is going to break out, is Anthony Fontana from Philadelphia Union. He kind of had this weird goal scoring run this year where he was not just scoring goals, but he was scoring phenomenal goals for Philadelphia Union. And now that Brendan Aaronson isn't there, he has a direct spot in the starting lineup. We saw how quickly things changed for Brendan Aaronson. I think the same can happen for Anthony Fontana if he keeps it up.
Yeah, I like all those calls, actually. I think someone that I'm not sure if he technically qualifies for a full breakout, but kind of like Brendan Aaronson, who broke out a little bit the year before. I think Caden Clark is someone that next year we're going to see a big Caden Clark year. So I think, I know it's kind of a cheat code to say Caden Clark, but he has to be somewhere on this list. He's going to have an absolute monster season for Red Bull and hopefully move to Leipzig in the near future. So I think for me, that's my kind of cheat pick, but I like the Brady Scott shout. I like Justin Renix. I think Abubakar Keita also doing well for possibly Columbus Crew. I think that's interesting. There's a lot of guys out there that I think could have a good season. Even we see another full breakout from Moses Nyman. Like, there's a lot of guys who could really explode next season. I think it's all about, can they get the minutes and can they show when they have them?
Yeah, I think just so many names. And we saw this year Aaronson McKenzie making the best 11. I don't think really anyone penciled them in for best 11 this year. So who knows what's going to happen. I don't think anyone saw Brian Reynolds, you know, getting $9 million bids. Things can happen any second.
Just give me a quick guy for you. You're saying next year or maybe even in January could break out and be a guy for the first team.
I'm going to go with Leon Flack from FC St. Pauli. And I think it could be a big year for him because right now he's under the radar. He's a dual national. Not a lot of people know about him, but he's really well talked about in the U20 circle. So I think if the U20 World Cup happens, he pushes more into the St. Pauli first team and he plays well on the international stage. That's really going to help him.
For those who don't know much about Leon Flach, tell me more about his position. What can he offer?
So Leon Flach, he's actually can play left back and center midfield. He's played both for club and country. He's played with the German youth teams before. You know, he's a Texas born player. So he's a little bit of a Swiss Army knife. He's a very comfortable on the ball, not necessarily a player who's going to beat you with pace, but he's very solid, which is why he can play either as like a true left back or as a holding midfielder.
Yeah, I like that Flash call out, actually. I think he's someone that could definitely break through. I think for me, it's pretty simple to say it could be Brian Keogh just because he's gotten looks with the first team already. He's mentioned a lot on those lists of like who could break through next half of the season. I think he's someone we see. I think, I don't know if he qualifies for this per se, but I think we had Uli Lanez on the pod and he hasn't quite fully gotten his feet wet with Jurrien Veen. I think he's fully going to get in there and establish himself with the first team for the second half of this year. So I think he's someone to keep an eye on going forward for sure. Is there anyone else that we're missing or is it just another strong group? There's a bunch of Americans playing somewhere and someone's going to break through.
Yeah, I guess you can add Kobe Hernandez-Foster. I think every U.S. soccer fan wants him to break out at left back, but here he is playing as a six for Wolfsburg. So we'll see what happens with him. You know, he'll be turning 19 next year and in U.S. soccer circles, you know, once a player hits like 17, we expect him to be playing for our first team. So hopefully he gets a chance at some point.
All right. Well, for our final one, we kind of touched on both of these before. I think one best moment for me and that Uli talked about was his penalty at home versus Costa Rica. Adams, UCL scored the goal. Weston McKennie again, goal versus Barcelona. Jorginho again, goal for Barcelona, first American to do so. And then Pulisic, when he sliced and diced through my Liverpool defense, had an assist and goal in that 30-minute cameo. And of course, I think the obvious answer here, the recruitment of Yunus Musa. What's it going to be?
Once again, we've talked a lot about Weston and just the feeling of him scoring that goal was incredible against Barcelona. Also, Tyler Adams, happy for him to get the UCL quarterfinal goal, even though it was a deflection. But for me, this award goes to that Christian Pulisic slicing and dicing through Liverpool and then sliding it for Tammy Abraham. I mean, everyone talked about Trent Alexander-Arnold. What a player he is. Goes through him like nothing. Joe Gomez, wow, what a player he is. Goes through him like nothing. And this slices it up. Then scores after. I mean, just chills. Absolute chills that against Liverpool, they ended up going to win. Just the fact that an American is doing that against supposedly the best team in the world. Just absolutely incredible. And it was a slaughter. He slaughtered their back line and I loved every second of it.
Yeah, I know for me as a Liverpool fan, I remember watching that. I was like, oh, no. But yes, because Pulisic, you know, that's great. He did all that stuff. So I was really excited on one hand, but the other time I was so conflicted because he literally ran through my entire team. So I think big coming out moment for him. That was a great moment, I think, for him and all of U.S. soccer fans to be like, all right, we actually have a guy. Like, we knew he was very talented before. We knew he was special. But to put it all together in that little 30-minute cameo was really quite impressive. And I think that's probably the moment of the year, I think, for just all of U.S. soccer. I think the recruitment of Yunus Musah, very important. Congrats to Greg Berhalter and crew. The Adams UCL quarterfinal winner versus Atletico, that was really big. Weston McKennie, really big. I think as a whole, I think it's just pretty cool to say we have all of these moments to pick from. I don't think I remember in recent history having these many things to say this was the best moment. No, this was the best moment. Like, I think this was one of the best years in U.S. soccer history. Can I say that comfortably? Are you going to push back on that?
No, I would agree. As overall, as weird, as disappointing of a year it was, there were so many things to be grateful for in U.S. soccer. And I actually think U.S. soccer was a shining light in a lot of people's years. It gave them something to look out for. It gave them new heroes. It gave them new people that make them happy. If it's not Yunus Musah, it's Tim Weah. If it's not Tim Weah, it's Gio Reyna. If it's not Pulisic, it's Weston McKennie. If it's not McKennie, it's Adams. It's not Adams, it's Dest. We have Miazga. Like, we have everyone. John Brooks is starting every minute, playing every game. So much Johnny so Cardoso. That we haven't even mentioned Johnny Cardoso today. So I think just absolutely everyone and just the combination of all the players, it was a great year.
And, yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, no, I think it was a really special year for U.S. soccer. I'm really happy to say that we started this podcast this year. I know it's been a tough year for everybody, but I'm really happy to have everyone listen. And George, I'm happy to have you on board. Now, looking forward to next year, hopefully some more interviews down the line, more transfer rumors, more national team games, and all that fun stuff. So I think without further ado, we can wrap up this edition of the One Goal U.S. Soccer podcast. If anyone has any gripes, star awards, find us on Twitter. Come at us. Tell us how you feel. If there's anyone we missed, please let us know. And again, one last time, it's Christian Pulisic. And I think that'll wrap this edition of the One Goal U.S. Soccer podcast. Anything else, George?
This was a fun episode to do. And obviously, in the replies, tell us your picks. Who do you guys think? Do you guys not think Weston McKennie should have won every single award he was nominated for? Like, we want to hear it.